Hey, this is Leo Cologne.
And this is Rebecca Cologne.
This is a Parents Initiative podcast, and we want to thank you for joining us.
We hope that this could be used as a tool that will create an awareness in you as parents to take the initiative in becoming and being the parents that God has called you to be.
For us, it's not about being the perfect parent, but it's about each day making progress, each day moving forward and becoming a better version of yourself.
So you can give others the best version of you as a spouse, parent, family member, and friend.
Welcome to the 33rd episode of the Parents Initiative podcast. This is your host, Leo Cologne, and I have our co-host, Rebecca, with us.
Hello, everyone.
And we want to congratulate you for taking the time to listen because you are saying that you are doing your best to become a better parent, and we congratulate you for that. And it's an honor that you took the time to listen to this episode. Today, we have a special guest with us named Keith Glines.
Yes.
He is the host of the Comeback Dad Post, and I had the opportunity to meet him a couple weeks ago in Tulsa, Oklahoma for a men's retreat and heard him share some of his testimony. It was real quick, but just hearing what he had to say, I knew that I had to have him on our podcast because there are some of you that are faithful listeners that you have faced divorce, you have faced some tough times, then you got remarried and you're in a place where you're a blended parent. And Keith is going to kind of touch base on those topics. But what we're going to ask him to do is just kind of share his story. And we're going to be here writing some notes. And if we have any questions, we will ask him. But I know that you will be blessed just hearing what transpired in his life.
Yeah.
So Keith, come on, take it. Let it rip.
Man, thank you for having me on today. I've been looking really forward to this. I never thought in a million years that I would be asked to be on any kind of parenting podcast. Let me just say that. I mean, my kids are wonderful. I think I've done an okay job. But if you had pinpointed me and said, hey, we want you to throw down some parenting knowledge. When I told my wife what I was doing today, she looked at me and she literally said, why? when you asked me to be on, I was like, where do I go? What do I talk about? And, you know, one of the things that I think that you need to know, and when I created really the Comeback Dad, was when you go through trauma or of any type, there's things that you have to do to make a comeback from any of those situations, yeah. Divorce, business failure. And what I saw was men really struggle to make a comeback. Mm. And I saw that one of the things that men do is typically fall in a hole and they tend to never come out. Mm-hmm. And every divorced person that I met, so when you get divorced, you come through this time where you hang around other divorced people because that's the only people that really that you can relate to or that you feel comfortable with. And so everyone I met was bitter, and I said, God, I cannot come out of this as bitter as those people that I'm being around right
well,
now.
Well, can you like talk about, because when you shared the men's encounter, like you were pulling up to your house.
Yeah. So I was riding down the road and I get a call from a friend that knows the police officer that's sitting at my house, and he texts me and he said, hey man, don't go home. He said, there's your wife's leaving. And I had no idea before that what was happening. I had no idea that I knew that we were struggling, but I didn't know we were struggling that bad. Wow. And I didn't know she had reached the point where she said, it's over. Mm-hmm. And so when that hits you, you have to make a decision on which road to go down. Do you go down the bitter path? Do you go down the path that's going to take you into hating and being, you know, totally just a jerk? Or do you say, hey, my kids are the most important? And I had to come to the place where I was like, hey, I really expected this. I didn't expect it right now. I didn't expect it to go down this way, because if you had asked me if I was going to get divorced, I would have said probably so eventually. Yeah. Because we lived a very non-relational life. We passed each other in the halls in the morning. And I think that's where a lot of families are today. Is they're in the place where they wake up, they get the kids ready, they go to school, they pass each other in the halls and they say, hey, and you know, mm-hmm. And as they're walking down the hall, say, whisper under their breath how much they hate each other. And that's kind of where we were, is because we had got married when we were 18 years old. And we grew this beautiful family, but we never connected in the middle of that. And I think that a lot of couples, they find this place, themselves in this place where they raise beautiful kids and they get their kids in the teenage years and they sit in a chair and they sit back and they're like, I don't even know that person I'm married to.
Yeah.
And so that's where I found myself that day.
Yeah, because you got a call. Yeah. I heard you and you couldn't even come home.
I couldn't even come in the house until she left. And when I eventually got to the house, Sheriff showed up to serve me papers. And so when I received those papers, again, I had a decision to make. Do I fight for this? And I came to the conclusion that it was gone. And so then I had to just begin that day. And I sulked for a little while. I'll be real honest with you. I sulked and got in my cocoon and said, I'm just going to be miserable. And I became a victim.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the tendency of, but then I came to the point about 3 months in. And now, let me come back to say that I never neglected my kids. Yeah. I always fought for them. Mm-hmm. But I got in this point of a place of, hey, life isn't worth fighting for. And marriage isn't worth fighting for. And love isn't worth fighting for. And never going, you know, I was in that camp of, I'm never going to do this again. I'm never, yeah. How many divorced people have you met that said, I'm never doing this again?
Right. You know? In a very dark place.
Very dark place. And so having to walk out of that place was one of the toughest things in my life, but one of the most rewarding, because it really taught me the redemption that God, Christ can bring.
Now, you also mentioned, before we go into the redemption part, you also mentioned, when I heard you speak on stage, how she turned your kids against you.
Yeah, she did. And
I'm not trying to rehash anything, right, but I want people to know.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I don't know that she necessarily turned my kids against me, but the way that everything went down, from that perspective, I had to rebuild trust in my children.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that that's where a lot of divorced people get. You want to talk about daddy or mama issues that we give our children, is go through a hard time or go through a divorce and blame each other.
Yeah.
And what I've got to say is that coming out of that and having to rebuild trust in my kids, and then having to have a relationship with a woman that I used to be married to and raise kids together, mm-hmm, has been one of the most difficult but teachable moments of my life, because you have to truly learn to forgive. And mm-hmm, I can honestly say today that she and I sit here, speaking of my ex-wife, she and I sit here as better parents than we ever were together. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to talk about some redeemable properties or redeemable things, is that you know that God is working when you can parent together, and even you can even excel in it way better than you were doing together.
Yeah.
And so we came to this point with, we did the typical divorce thing where we blamed one another, and we were loudmouthed in to our children about, if your mama would just do this, or if your daddy would just do this, or whatever. But then I think, you know, we finally came to this point of, hey, we're in this situation. Yeah, we're not compatible to live together, and we're not compatible to be married anymore. But what we've created is a really beautiful 3 kids. Mm-hmm. And so having to humble yourself and be the person that Christ calls you to be as a father, And I really saw what it means to kind of lay down my life for my family.
Yeah.
And be able to say, hey, you know, I really want to be prideful right now, and I really want to take my hurt, and I want to blame somebody, but really, it's not your mother's fault. It's my fault. And having to do that was, you know, it really made me have a mindset shift.
Yeah, because I mean, when I first originally heard him, you know, he was sharing this stuff, and I was thinking, you know, there are some of you listeners that are probably have been through a divorce, and you know, you're trying to find that balance and how to work and navigate things. And one of the things that really stood out to me about Keith was, you know, from the stage, he said that he never said anything negative.
Right.
And you think about how hard that is for anybody, you know, when you know that maybe things are being said to you that's not true.
Right.
Or bad. Right.
You didn't negative talk.
Right. But what you find out most of the time also is that what you think who's negative talking, it's not actually your ex-spouse.
Right.
It's people around you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. The chatter of people around you that have no idea what you're going through, that just want to be in the middle of it and create drama is where it normally comes from. Family. Mm-hmm. If I can say one thing, family is family. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so they have very good intentions, but they cause a lot of drama inside divorce.
Yeah.
Because they take sides, and once they take sides, and your kids are involved, then your kids hear that,
yeah.
And they have to battle through taking up for their mother, or taking up for their father, or taking up, you know, where if, and one of the things that I do now, and even 4 years into this,
right.
Or 5 years into this, is if I hear my family doing anything that would belittle or tear down my ex-wife, I shut it down.
That's perfect.
And
yeah.
And so the kids don't need to hear that. Matter of fact, I've really thought about writing a family guide to divorce because families, especially in the church.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Because divorce is looking at one of the things that I'm really working with the churches right now, and I've had some awesome opportunities from creating the Comeback Dad to speak into pastors' lives and say, quit using the word broken.
Yeah.
Because all the time we sit in church, I couldn't even sit in church for months because every time I would go and I would hear that pastor talk about how great his family was, and I would know really what going on behind his doors, that it's really not that perfect that he's portraying. It would make me so angry and ashamed.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that when someone gets up on stage and says, if you come from a broken home, well, you don't come from a broken home because God redeems that.
Right.
And even in the middle of brokenness, he can make it right.
Right.
And so when my kids would hear that word that you come, I mean, we even say that culturally is,
right,
you come from a broken home. Well, those kids aren't broken. And so if our words matter, all our words matter.
Yep.
Right?
That's it.
And so I think that we need to change that term using for divorced families is a broken home, because it may be a blended home, or it may be a home that doesn't have mom and dad living together, but it's not broken in any way.
Right.
Yeah, because you put that label,
yeah,
you know, and that's something that I'm even guilty of at times, is you put that label, but you don't realize that, you know, there, like you said, there is restoration, there is healing.
Right.
You know, but if you continue to speak something like that, people will begin to think, well, I am broken.
Well, yeah.
Right.
And they begin to accept it and become it and believe it, and it's ingrained in you.
Right.
And it can be life-altering.
Right. Yeah, it definitely can. And, I think one of the problems, you know, the statistic says that when kids come from a house that's experienced divorce, that they're more, you know, they're a lot more likely to get divorced themselves.
Right.
And I don't know that it's necessarily that, but I think it's the stigma that's put around,
yes,
specifically in the church.
Well, they accept it.
Right.
They expect it.
Yeah.
And you get what you're expecting.
And so what I'm doing now is really trying to change that philosophy.
Right.
And trying to talk to pastors and leaders and ministers and youth leaders about, you know, because we have an epidemic right now.
Mm-hmm.
The statistic in the Christian community is no greater or no better,
right,
than in the secular community in any way. So churches today have 50% of their members sitting in there that's going through this, and we're scared to speak about it. And so that's what I'm really trying to do with the Comeback Dad, is kind of bring awareness to failure. And I'm not talking about just divorce. I'm talking about any kind of failure. Right. Mm-hmm. Because people, the ability to talk about the mistakes that you've made really gives healing to other people.
Yeah.
And so that's what kind of what I wanted to create with that, is just to create a place that people could, specifically men. And but the feedback I'm getting from women all over the place, and the emails, and the people stopping me in the middle of the street just saying, hey, I listened to your podcast, it really did something for me.
Yeah.
Has been quite amazing. So it's been
it's a powerful
really good
testimony. Powerful, because I mean, he finds himself in a place where he can't come to his house. You lose everything.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I had to start everything over.
Started everything over. Your publishing company.
And so all of that was tied. We were tied together, and so having to totally wake up one day and wake up with go to bed with one identity and wake up with another is just really, really difficult to do.
And but just to see you standing here today, that says a lot about being a comeback dad. Because if anybody can speak for that, it's Keith.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, but one of the things that you will find that when you don't listen to the Creator about the intent He has for you, and that's where I was, is I was doing things and putting my name on things that I would have never done had it not bringing the money that I was making. And I was allowing my family to experience things that I would have never allowed had it not been making a comfortable life.
Yeah.
Right.
And so what I really learned is that to change direction before you get to the place that you're asking yourself to bend your morals.
Right.
And I'm not talking about spirituality. I'm talking about just morality here.
Yeah.
And so that's what led me there. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pretend that it didn't. And so in rebuilding, it's allowed me to build companies and build the things that I'm building, and building my new publishing company that speaks well of the creation in which the Creator created.
Right.
You know? And I think that that is our job as Christ followers, is to create a better world that we live in, spreading the message of the gospel, than using outside sources to gain the world's favor.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's kind of where I'm at, is, you know, everything I do now. And I can show you that once I change that mindset in myself to say, hey, I'm going to use, and like you guys do, or use your ministry, or call it your ministry of spreading and helping parents.
Right.
You know? And so now all I do is faith-based work. I don't do any book with my publishing company. I have a media company that I do secular work with, right, and some graphic design, and then do some cookbooks and stuff like that. But most of the stuff I take on today, one, definitely doesn't tear down the sanctity of a family or relationship or children or any of that. It all benefits the whole family. And I can show you, from the time I changed my mindset, God gave me a wonderful wife that I just celebrated our year yeah, in October. Gave me a wonderful bonus daughter, and 11 years old. And so the redemption that God walked me through losing everything to even reconciling with, you know, not relationally, right, with my ex-wife, but I consider her a friend. And us becoming, you know, parents of three kids, you know, in a different environment and situation, and doing that well. And I can show you where that, ever when you change your mind to do what the Creator intended you to do, redemption happens.
Well, can you speak for just real quick, like, what made you decide not to say anything negative? You know, because I think
the bitterness that I saw in other people.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So I saw so many people be, and I watch it day in and day out now that I get to deal, mm-hmm. you know, and counsel. And because right. when you put out articles and podcasts that says, hey, I've come through this and I see the world differently and better than I ever did before.
Right.
People kind of lean on you to kind of help them walk through that process. So I'm getting to help people walk through the process of failure. And all of them, and I usually don't use the word all, but I'm using the word all, have the bitterness that they almost cannot overcome.
Yeah, and that bitterness goes into their kids.
It goes into their kids as well. It goes into their kids' philosophy about love. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so I don't want my kids to take away from that, right. You know? So I really worked hard to have I struggled with it? Sure. Do I still struggle with it?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? But I think if you look at, it's not their fault and they didn't cause it, you did. So quit laying the responsibility on them having to deal with it.
Yeah.
And when you honor, I feel like it releases healing.
100%.
You know,
yeah.
Through that honoring, it does in all parties.
Right. Well, and that's in life in general. Yeah. Anyone you have a grievance against, anyone
Absolutely.
That you have bitterness towards. Mm-hmm. And so anytime that you can say, you know what, I forgive you. And yeah. even if they don't even need to be forgiven, right. if you can just forgive them, they don't take up headspace.
Right.
And what I watch is so many people give their headspace to other people mm-hmm. instead of saying, hey, I want to be the best person I can be.
Yeah.
We want to take our attention and lay it on somebody else. It's your
right.
fault I'm not this or that or successful or not successful.
right.
Or, you know, that it just people spend so much of their time worrying about other people. And if you can only worry about yourself.
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane, man. And one of the greatest things, so I just had Daniel Bastra on my podcast, and he wrote that song, Like a Lion.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he told me on that podcast, we were talking about marriage a little bit, and he said, man, I can only bring, he said, if two become one flesh, I'm only 50%.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if my job is to bring the 50%. And then my spouse's job is to bring the other 50% to make a full one. And so if marriages could understand that, and you know, I realize this is a parenting podcast, but marriage is built in there too.
It is. So
and
right.
so if we could just understand that 50%, we bring 50% and our spouse brings 50%. And so today, my wife and I, we live that law out is, hey, what are you bringing today? Are you bringing, and every day we get up and say, am I bringing my part?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that I'm being, do you feel I'm bringing my load today?
Right.
You know? And so I think that's big in parenting. And, you know, even in talking about parenting is, you know, because once you talk about a blended family, then you have all kind of stuff that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
So how are you navigating that?
Well, I have it pretty wonderful in the fact that my wife is a much better parent than I probably am. And so my bonus daughter is one of the most well-adjusted kids I've ever been around in my whole life. So it's easy to parent her. And she and I have this relationship that is kind of unique in the fact that she's known me for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Even before, you know, we were married. And so I've been able to put little deposits in her
right.
and show her that I care about her.
Relationship equity.
Yeah. Kind of
she's
relationship
the one
equity.
With the other day.
Yeah.
You posted on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
So, well, unless you saw a couple weeks ago we were hunting together, that was our middle daughter, our 15-year-old
okay.
that was hunting with me this mm-hmm. week. So, which she hates to hunt. My teenagers hate that. But Jane Addison, who's 11, she loves to hunt. She'll
That's
hunt
cool.
all day long. Matter of fact, she killed her first deer with her dad today, this weekend.
Oh,
so that
awesome.
Was really cool,
really
to get to see. And she shot me pictures when she did it of them too. And that's really cool to see. So understanding how to help even her
honor
relationship and honor her dad is even a unique space, because there can be some insecurities involved in that.
I
was insecure, I could mess that relationship up. And so that's what parents of blended relationships need to understand, is that it's your job even to honor the other parent. And even though, you know, I take on some parental roles because she lives with me full time. So of course I have to say, don't do that. Or, you know, I have to say, well, this is what I think, and give my opinion. But understanding that I also have to honor him as well as her father is a role that's very hard to navigate. So it takes a lot of prayer and a lot of humility.
and not manipulating.
Yeah, and not manipulating, because I would love to manipulate for my purposes, So even understanding that is just very unique. And I even watch people all day long become just so bitter and angry at the ex-spouse. And understand that does no good, because what it does is it creates strife in this home. Because if I'm angry at Jane Addison's dad, then that does no good for her. It doesn't create an environment where she can feel love. It doesn't, and then she feels like she has to appease one or the other.
So how are you navigating that relationship now with your ex-spouse? Because I think that's something that, you know, some people that are listening may have a problem doing at times. Like, so
I think having ultimate boundaries is the thing. You have to have boundaries in every way. In any relationship, you have to have boundaries. And I think that one of the things that culturally we don't teach, and we sure don't teach our kids, is to have boundaries in communication. And so understanding that is the mother of my children, but it is not a place that I can go for anything other than that. It is not a place that I need to be emotional. It is not a place. It becomes, and I hate to say this, and I hate to use this word, but you have to make it, once you are separated, it becomes a business transaction. And understanding that it becomes a business transaction.
I get that.
Taking the emotion out of it.
Because you can't, and I understand, taking emotion out is very difficult. Controlling your mind and controlling your tongue is very difficult, but also understanding there's a greater good when you do it is imperative to living a peaceful life. And that's where I'm at right now. I don't know if you've read Richard Rohr at all, but he has a book called Falling Upward, and it talks about the second half of life. And you know, my kids got two kids in college, and a 15-year-old and 11-year-old, and we're kind of coasting, you know? And so I work out of the house, and we travel and do all that kind of stuff. But understanding where you are in life is also a really big deal. And understanding that the hate and the bitterness doesn't allow you to have peace. You know? And we live on the fact in this house, and live on the principle of where there's strife, there's every evil work. And so many people live day in and day out in strife. And what people need to understand is it's your job to eliminate strife. It's not somebody else's job.
Well, I love that you're speaking to that, because even from the moment we walked into your home, we're sitting here in Keith's home, and I said to you, you have such a beautiful home, and it's so peaceful. And what you're saying is not just words, it's real. Because I can feel that in your home, that you have created a place of peace, that you have shifted your pain to purpose.
Right.
To really do good and to help people to know practical things on how to really live a life of harmony. Because you can walk through this life, like you said, and strive, but having that harmony and choosing where those relationship boundaries are. and you can't come into this circle, you can't come into this square, I'm not going to allow you to be here,
right?
But I will deal with you here, but it stops here, and I'm not going to allow it to affect this home. And so I love that.
Yeah. And I think that that's one thing that parents need to understand is that the strife they allow, yep, allow in their home doesn't only affect them, it affects their kids.
Yes, absolutely.
When my home, when my kids walk in this house and they feel tension, because kids are very sensitive to energy,
yes,
and when they feel negative, yep, energy, they're going to be more likely to possess it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's our job as parents, as step parents, as bonus parents, to say, hey, I don't know what happened out there today, but when you come here, you have a safe space.
Right.
Yeah, and you could have easily, you know, allowed that, you know, you could have easily not be standing here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But you chose to come back, and you were raised in church.
Right, I was. My father's a minister.
Yeah, so you already have something inside of you that was somewhat of a compass to help you, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, but even just navigating that, and I think it's key. We have this thing, like, we're working on our mindset. And I think,
right,
that's one area in the church that we're not really addressing the importance of mindset and being intentional in that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we have a tendency to pray about things, and like, yeah, we were just talking about before.
Yeah.
Or we quote the scripture, take your thoughts captive.
Yeah.
Well, how do I do that?
But, or we quote the scripture. Or we quote the scripture.
Transform by the renewing of our mind. How do we do that?
Or we quote the scripture, where there's strife, there's every evil work, and then,
yeah,
we don't do anything to eliminate the strife.
Yes, absolutely.
And so it's our choice to eliminate the strife.
And that's key.
You can't pray strife away.
Yep.
You can choose to not have it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you can choose to not let, when someone attacks you, to that not turn into strife.
Yeah, not
exactly.
To receive
not,
that.
Right.
Yeah.
So
for those that are listening, that you're divorced, you know, you are having issues with your ex-spouse, you have a choice.
Yeah.
And you have to choose correctly.
Yeah.
And this is, like you said, the mindset is everything. You have to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be easy at times, but you got to be intentional every single day making that decision.
Not every day, just every moment.
Yeah. One of the things that, yeah, so I listen to Peter Crone a lot. He's a mindset guru. And one of the things that he says that has impacted me the most is that past hurt informs future fears.
Mm.
That's good.
And then he says, do you know why you're in the situation in which you're in right now?
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to happen. Because it's what is.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change what is.
Right.
You can only change what is to come. And so one of the things that I think is we look on our past, and that's a whole nother podcast we can,
yeah,
get into, is how we need to move away from our past, because it really affects our children's future.
Right.
Yeah.
And if it's a negative past.
Mm-hmm.
And dwelling on your past gets you nowhere.
Right.
Only dealing with what life can become is what we need to do.
Yeah, it's every day. You have any questions?
No, I think, you know, we've really covered all of them.
I think it's great.
As we went through.
Yeah, this was awesome.
Yeah.
We've really enjoyed meeting you and being with you today.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing your heart.
Yeah, because we obviously, you know, we don't have any experience with this. And,
yeah,
sometimes some of our listeners don't know how to handle some of the things that you have addressed. And you hit,
right,
it all. And I think what we can get overall, This is my takeaway, is that you got to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to choose to do the right thing, you know, and intentionally do that every single day and be intentional in that.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, it's even insightful for us because, you know, we were married 6 months and my in-laws got divorced. And that takes on a whole other dynamic that we've walked through over the last 17 and a half years. But hearing you today, it really brought some insight and some things that maybe I could really shift in my relationships there.
Cool.
You know,
cool.
And so I really appreciate that.
Well, Keith, if you can, tell us a little bit how we could follow you on social media, your podcast. Give us some info on that.
So you can follow me at thecomebackdad.com, and you can find the podcast there and all the social media for that. And then my personal ones on Instagram, you can catch me at Keter, K-E-T-E-R. That's what my granddad always called me, so that's what I got. So, but yeah, to contact me or do any of that kind of stuff, just go to thecomebackdad.com.
That's awesome. So Once again, we congratulate you for taking the time to listen to this podcast episode. Thank you so much, Keith, for joining us. It's been a blast. And we actually just do a couple things for us. If you could rate this episode, we really appreciate that. If you could review it, share it with someone. And we encourage you, if you know someone that is going through a situation like Keith's and how he's overcome that, as someone that's really having a hard time, share this episode with them. And we also have a community on Facebook and Instagram, and we encourage you to invite other people to come along.
Yeah, would you like Parents Initiative to be presented, whether it's your organization, your church, wherever? We would love to partner with you, link arms with you, and empower your community to really bring awareness there, to be the parents that God's called you to be, and be a blessing to others.
Until next week, you guys have a great one.
We thank you for joining us today, especially those of you that are faithful supporters of Parents Initiative. It's because of you we are able to put this together.
If you'd like to become a supporter, you can click on the link on the description to give now, or go to parentsinit.com and scroll to the bottom of the page and click on the donate button, where you can give a one-time tax-deductible gift or be set up to give monthly.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe, you can share it with your friends, you can click the share button, take a screenshot, share it on your social stories, and tag us at Parents Initiative. Thank you so much for joining us today.